episode 119 of the podcast. This week, we're talking about the training mindset and being a bit more scientific about what we're seeing. What is the difference between a fact and a story? And more importantly, why do we need to know? You're listening to the Creating Great Grooming Dogs podcast. I'm Chrissy Neumeyer-Smith. I'm a certified professional groomer, a certified behavior consultant for canines, a certified professional dog trainer, and the owner of Happy Critters in Nashua, New Hampshire. And this, my friends and colleagues, is the podcast where grooming and training meet. Facts or stories? It can be tricky to tell the difference, and I'm going to start you off with the idea that facts are observable data, and stories are the way that an individual adds up that data to help it make sense. Stories aren't a bad thing, but if the data, the observable facts, get lost or misinterpreted, the story can become quite flawed. And then we add that story to somebody else's story, or they're responding to our story, and that's where it gets really tricky, especially with behavior issues. So here is a non-dog example, and I want you to kind of think about it because this will help you understand like what is observable and what's opinion, what is subjective, what is objective. Here is my non-dog example. It's a nice day. Is that a fact or a story? It's a nice day. So that's my story about what I have observed. It's my individual interpretation of the facts. Right? Other people might not think it's a nice day. I think it's a nice day. That's my interpretation of what I see. So to suss out the real details, to gather our clues, which I talk about in behavior stuff, I want you to be thinking about, like, somebody says their story, we can ask for facts. Like, tell me more, right? So if you say, what about this day is nice? Right now I can answer you, right? Like right now it's 45 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm in New England. It's March. 45 degrees is a nice day in March in New England, right? It's sunny. It's slightly breezy. Things are drying out. Ice and snow is melting, right? Those are all things that my interpretation is it's a nice day. Other people's interpretation might be that it's still quite cold. And I will tell you, again, thinking in terms of stories or data, if I had that same bunch of information in front of me in September, right, that same exact description, 45 degrees Fahrenheit, sunny, slightly breezy, things are drying out, ice and snow is melting. If I heard that in September, this same day would make me really, really sad that summer's over. So it's about interpretation about facts. And so when we think about facts are things that we can all agree on. Is the snow melting? Yes. That's measurable, observable. If we all looked at a snowbank with water underneath it, we can all look and go, yep, the snow is melting. But we might have different interpretations on whether or not that's part of what makes it a nice day. So in behavior terms, some of the stories that we hear are different than the facts. And so I want us to be able to recognize when someone's telling us a story or when we're saying a story versus when we're looking at what's observable, right? I use stories all the time. So it's not that the stories are bad. I use that as a tool to help people understand what I'm trying to express to them. So let me give you another example that happened this week. An owner called me about dog training, and we were talking on the phone. This is an initial consult, and she said, well, and when we're on walks, my dog is very dominant with other dogs. Now, we've kind of only basically touched on dominant stuff here, but anyway, so she says, my dog is very dominant with other dogs. I'm like, that means a lot of things to a lot of different people. Let's talk about, like, walk me through what happens. Because honestly, when an owner says my dog is dominant around other dogs, that's a story. That to me is not a description of what is going on. And because I don't have enough facts, I cannot help them. So instead of telling me what's going on, she says, well, I ran into another person who's a breeder of this breed, and we were off for a walk, and she even said this was dominant. right? You know, so if a bunch of owners form a committee, then their dominant model is fine, right? So I'm like, okay, but I need some details because that doesn't give me enough information about what problem you're experiencing. She's like, well, you know, dominance. So I want you to think the story and the details, like the details inform our story. So instead of arguing with her about whether or not the dog is dominant, I said, oh, so being out on a walk with other dogs around isn't a problem for your dog because your dog is comfortable with that, patient with other dogs, chooses if they're going to be, you know, silly and playful or if they don't want to play anymore, can still listen to you, isn't having any issues with other dogs. And she said, oh, no, that's not what's happening. I'm like, oh, but that was what dominance is in my mind. A dominant dog is like the large and in charge, friendly, happy-go-lucky, easy to get along with. She's like, oh, no, my dog gets really, really excited and tries to like jump up and down on the other dog and keeps putting her paws on that dog's shoulders and stuff. And I'm like, ah, yeah, that's not the same. And so when we talk to our owners about, tell me what you see, like, tell me what happens, walk me through it, right? Then that's when you get that observable data, right? My dog gets really excited. My dog is jumping up and down. My dog is pulling me toward other dogs. My dog wants to put her paws up on the other dog. She wants to circle. She wants to jump around. She does some barking. The tail is wagging. The ears are happy and high. You know, like all those things that are now details that informed her story. But her interpretation of what was going on is very different than mine. So I want us to think about the story. We also need to have our facts that back that up. So if I talk to an owner about your dog wasn't great for nails today, you know, like I'm also backing that up with, you know, the facts, whatever that fact is, right? Your dog wasn't good for nails today. Okay, that in some respects, that can be a fact, but wasn't good could mean a lot of different things, right? That's like a nice day. It's a nice day. What does that mean? Tell me more. So we need the facts, the data, the observable clues, right? It's a murder mystery. Figure out the clues. Find out everything that's going on at the same time, right? So if somebody is trying to tell me that they're having a problem with a dog, usually I just ask a ton of questions. Because I find that especially if you're not a dog trainer, you're thinking more like, well, my dog's really frustrated. Tell me what you see. When does this come up? What is happening? This dog is really stubborn. Describe this for me. Stubborn is a story. It's what our brain does to process all of those facts that we saw, right? And sometimes we don't know we're doing it. We're like, you know, stubborn. I mean, he's a whatever breed, so like obviously, you know. So I want you to think back, but what do I see? What am I observing that made me say stubborn? Is it the dog that when you try to lift them up flops to the floor, tries to backpedal out of your arms? Is it a dog that bites at the dryer? Like, what is going on that you are interpreting as this dog is stubborn? Right? You're telling me that you're having a problem, but it doesn't give me enough to go on to help you fix it. And because training mindset is all about how can we then address that problem and pull out all the little details so that we can figure out what's going on. What is it the dog is having a hard time with? What are we having a hard time with? And where can we meet in the middle? How can we build the thing that we want to build? How can we help this dog be better? So facts and stories and observable, measurable facts are things that we can all agree on. We can all sit back and say, that dog is trembling. But if I told you right now, what does that mean? This dog is trembling, right? That's a fact. We can observe that. But I haven't given you enough information for you to know anything about why this dog is trembling, right? Most of us, our knee-jerk reaction would be scared. Sometimes it's old age. I've known a couple of dogs that were just kind of trembly little old girls and, you know, very, very hard to edge their ear. But, you know, trembling could be a dog that is super excited. Like they're almost vibrating like a hummingbird. Like they're constantly in motion. They're trying really hard to hold it together, but they're really, really excited. Like trembling is observable and it's a fact, but it's not enough for us to put it into any sort of context. So in the next part, we're going to talk a little bit about, I'm going to play a little game and I'm going to add things and say, is it fact or a story? And hopefully that'll help pull this all together, because often what I'm hearing when I'm talking to non-dog trainers is I'm hearing stories that I have to drag the facts out. The thing is that, guys, you are observing facts. That's what informs your stories. It's in there. Oh, it's in there, and it's so awesome, and you're so close to really being able to use it. And like, wait a minute. When I said that dog is bossy, you know, is that a fact or is that a story? What am I seeing? And the better we get at understanding this, the easier it gets for us to help dogs be good, because we're going to be closer to having a training mindset and being in that scientific zone. If you're enjoying this podcast, please remember to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes, and tell all of your friends. So let's play a little game. I kind of want you to start thinking about some of the words that we commonly hear and start analyzing what those words really mean. Is it a fact? Is it something observable? Or is it a story that I've kind of, that we as people, whether that's me or you or the person working at the table beside you or the owner, but the story that we use to describe what we've observed. I have a big list of them. We're going to just play it as a little game. Here's one. Bossy. This dog is really bossy. Is that a fact or is that a story? Is that an observation or is that the story that we come up with based on a bunch of observations? Right? And that one I'm going to say is a story. That's our interpretation of what we observe. Because bossy, well, that could mean a bunch of different things. What do you mean by bossy? Right? Now, I want you to think about that, because that's one I hear pretty often. This dog is really, really bossy. Is he bossy or is he having a hard time being groomed? You know, having a hard time dealing with what's going on and acting out in a way to get you to stop. Right? Also an interpretation, also a story. Describe what he's doing to try to make you stop, or that you perceive he's doing to try to make you stop. What do you see? Right? Strip it of the emotions. What do you see that you would describe as bossy? So here's another one on the list. Barking. Dog is barking. Is that observable fact or is that a story? And that's a fact, right? We could all look at that dog and go, that dog is barking. And that could be part of a story that we see, right? That could be the dog who, you know, just got dropped off or just heard its owner's voice out in the waiting room and started to bark, right? Like that, we can add that as part of a story. But on its own, that's fact. That's a key piece of information for us to have as part of how we interpret what's going on with the dog, right? What are we doing? What's happening? What are all of the signs that this dog is not having a good day? And that maybe, well, with barking, we're probably not having a good day either. But that's a fact. Barking, observable, scientific. We can look at that and all agree that this dog is barking. Now, here is another one. What about growling? Growling a fact or is growling part of the story? Right? And growling's a fact. We can hear growling. We can probably see like a little bit of tooth or something, like their face. And sometimes people don't think about these things as being important, as being part of the narrative, part of what we describe when we're saying like this dog is aggressive. And that's actually my next one. Okay, so aggressive. Is aggressive a story or is aggressive a fact? And in this case, I'm going to say, honestly, aggressive is an interpretation of the facts. We need a bunch of facts before we can say aggressive, right? Aggressive is sort of the story and the story that we make around the facts that we see. Because if I tell you this dog is aggressive, you need more information. And that's why we go back to the facts. That's why we go back and we say, what are we observing? What do we see, hear, feel, touch, taste, right? Like all of those things. What are our observations that led us to say, this dog is aggressive? Okay. Because I'll tell you what, there are times where it's like, this dog is aggressive, or is this dog being aggressive, but only in this context? Or is this person observing something that they think is aggressive that isn't, right? Aggressive is a story. And it's a good story, right? Like, it's not that stories are bad. We can use our stories to talk to each other and then discuss more facts, right? As another example of where aggressive, one of my guys, when he's trying really, really hard not to bark at someone walking past the house, will sometimes do this low kind of woof. It's a long, low, extended woof, woof. He actually just looked up at me when I was doing that. He's over on the couch like, dude, you're speaking my language, right? Again, stories, right? But it's this low, extended woof. Everything else about his body language is loose. His tail's going. His ears are up. He just knows I have asked him to not bark. If you want to have that door open with the screen and you want to watch people go by, you have to be quiet. So he's trying really hard to be quiet. People hear that as a growl and hear that as aggressive. That's the story they're making up. But if we go back and look at the facts, what do we see? Like, this is a dog whose body language is loose and his ears are up and happy and he often goes and grabs a toy, you know, like this is play. So the stories are important, but we have to kind of take a look back at what we observe. Now, here is another one. What about cowering? A dog is cowering, right? So cowering, that's a fact. We can look at a dog's body language and say, yeah, they are not standing up straight on all four legs. Their tail is underneath them. They're crouching. They're kind of bent. They look like they want to curl up into a little ball in the corner of the room and just get away from everybody. Their ears are down. Their head is lowered, right? That's cowering. And we can describe it even further. But still, that's a description. That's a fact. And then we can decide, why is this dog cowering? Right? Then we can start like gathering more clues and maybe build a story, because sometimes we do have to build a story. If I just told owners like fact after fact after fact, they'd be lost. Like I need to put it back into story framework for owners to understand it. And actually a lot of the time for non-trainers to understand it, even if they're dog professionals in other areas, but to kind of bring it back into a story and then help them observe details. So here's another one. Showing teeth. Is showing teeth an observation or a story? And that one is an observation. We can tell that a dog is showing their teeth. Doesn't tell us enough about what's going on, though, right? It's a piece of a larger puzzle. Because I think we've all met at least one dog that shows their teeth when they do that weird little grin. Like some dogs just have this kind of like, smiley face, you know? A derpy little smiley face. I've known a number of Aussies that did that. They just had this like little smiley grin. Some Malteses that like this, they show their teeth when they're like silly wiggly and happy. But you have to look at the whole body, right? You have to look at all of these other key pieces and gather your clues before you make a story about that dog is smiling at me, or that dog is threatening me, or that dog is uncomfortable with me. You know, like, we're so egocentric, too. It's always about me, right? It's always about me. But that one, showing teeth, yeah, that is something we can all observe and then gather more clues about and inform the story that we're going to tell. Now, here is another one. Licking. The dog is licking. Fact? Or is that part of a story? No, it's a fact. It could be part of a story. Right? All of these things can be part of a story, but I want you to start thinking in the training mindset so that you can start thinking more like a trainer, like, well, what am I really seeing? What am I really seeing? If I see this dog is submissive, what do I see? Right? Is that because this dog is licking me? Because that could be a number of reasons why a dog is licking me. Let me look at everything. What else is this dog doing? What else is going on in this environment right now? What does this dog do with its owner? Right? So to be thinking like, okay, how can I gather my clues. What am I seeing? What is it directly in front of me? And it takes a little bit of practice, but then it becomes fun. And like I said, a lot of the time I'm talking to an owner and I'm helping them, like, tell me how things work. Give me a description of what happens. So you are sitting on the floor with your dog and fireworks go off. And what does your dog do? The moment fireworks go off, what does your dog do? Right? Think about it. That's kind of the information we want, right? Your dog walks into the grooming shop. What does he do as soon as he walks in? Right? What happened on the car ride when you came out and you were in the parking lot and your dog spotted another dog in the parking lot of the grooming shop? What does your dog do? How does your dog respond? Right? Gather clues. A dog's in the tub and you turn on the dryer and the dog's behavior changes. In what way? What way did the behavior change? And that's what I'm talking about with, like, these are all observations, and there are things that we can all agree on. We can all agree that a dog turned around fast and did an air snap, but we all might interpret it differently. And that's where the story comes in, because those are our interpretations of a fact that the dog turned their head really fast and did an air snap. So it's just a different way of looking at things, but it's part of why when anybody asks me a question, I'm always following it up with, like, 5 or 6 more questions. Like, oh, give me more information. I want more information so that I can help you better. So that's this week. We're doing facts or stories, and start kind of training your eye. Like, if you say describing a dog in particular words, I want you to be able to start thinking, how am I going to back that up? What did I see that led me there? Because it's going to train your eye so that you start noticing things differently. If you'd like more information, you can find me at chrissy@happycritters.net, happycrittersdogtraining.com, or you can join the Facebook group, Creating Great Grooming Dogs podcast, or the Facebook page, Creating Great Grooming Dogs. I really look forward to hearing from you.